a powerful partnership in the online business world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Yahoo and Microsoft are reportedly putting the final touches on a deal to combine forces in online advertising. An official announcement's expected later today. It would combine Microsoft's search platform with Yahoo's internet reach. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Microsoft already tried to buy Yahoo last year and failed, so don't expect a single new corporate giant called Yasoft or Microhoo to come out of this deal. Instead, Yahoo and Microsoft will reportedly be business partners. They'll sell and deliver online ads that pop up when you use Microsoft's new search engine, Bing, or surf to any of Yahoo's popular websites. The deal will allow advertisers to reach nearly 30% of U.S. internet searchers. That's pretty good, but still less than half of Google's market share, says Kara Swisher of All Things Digital.
The two had to do something to join together to get enough scale that they could compete with Google, which is sort of hauling in the dough.
Swisher reports on her technology blog that Yahoo will get 110% of the ad revenue in the first 2 years. It could be worth billions. Microsoft, for its part, will get data on searches, which it can crunch through its powerful software to target online ads directly to consumers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Checking stocks now. Wall Street was a mixed bag yesterday. The S&P 500 gave up 0.25%. The Dow lost 11 points and closed at 9,096. European markets are moderately higher today. Asian markets fell earlier today, and there were huge drops in Hong Kong and especially Shanghai. This despite a very successful trading debut for this year's largest initial public offering in the world, China State Construction Engineering Group. This is the company that built the Water Cube Swimming Center for the Beijing Olympics. The stock soared on its first day of trading, but as I said, the overall markets fell hard. John Foley is Hong Kong correspondent for the financial website Breaking Views. He says Asian investors tend to view IPOs as somehow superhuman.
And today's China State Construction IPO shows an example of exactly that. The market fell heavily, and yet the new IPO basically doubled on its first day. I think the government is worried that people are getting too carried away, and they may look to try and cool the market down a bit.
Well, sometimes stock prices go up and there's irrational exuberance and they come back down. What's the connection between worries about a bubble and security concerns?
The main reason is that in China, stock buyers are much more the average guy on the street than they would be in a lot of Western markets. So Chinese people love to invest in stocks. They love to gamble on the stock market. And that's fine when they make lots of money, which they will do on the first day of a new issue. But on the second day, if the shares start falling, each fall in the share price represents someone who's lost money. And that becomes the government's problem.
What do you think this could mean for American stocks and companies?
I'm not sure that it means very much. I think the problem with China is that it's basically a closed financial market. It's very hard for foreigners to invest in the stock market in China, and it's even harder for Chinese people to invest in stock markets overseas. And one of the reasons that Chinese companies perform so outlandishly well is that Chinese investors simply don't have that much choice as to where to invest their money.
John Foley is Hong Kong correspondent for the financial website Breaking Views. John, thank you.
Thank you.
General Motors might be getting back into the leasing business. GM and Chrysler pulled out of leasing last year as car resale values slumped and credit tightened. This morning's Wall Street Journal reports GM and its financing arm, GMAC, are looking to lease again, maybe by this weekend. That would be especially good news for luxury brands like Cadillac, where leasing is a big part of their business. And the big auto supplier Delphi heads to bankruptcy court. Delphi's lenders are trying to buy the company's assets in a deal backed by GM, which would like to have a stream of parts for its cars. But a group of Delphi workers and retirees is worried about the future of their pensions.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The federal government is spending huge amounts of stimulus money to help states dig out of this recession and create jobs. But it's never that simple, is it? Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra reports the stimulus competition is having unintended consequences.
Let's say your friend has a brand new litter of puppies at her house and they're up for grabs. Problem is, you're not the only one who's interested. So you show up with a box of fancy dog treats. Someone else shows up with a box of fancy dog treats, squeaky toys, and chewies. Game over. The other guy walks home with most of the puppies. You leave with one. That's essentially what happened between Kentucky and Michigan. But instead of puppies, they were interested in lithium-ion automotive battery facilities.
We put the amount of money on the table that we felt was A, going to bring them to Michigan, and B, make a bold statement.
That's Eric Schreffler. He's with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. After Kentucky ponied up $200 million in incentives to lure essentially one battery facility, Michigan put up $400 million in incentives to lure in four battery facilities. That's because each state is on a mission to become the next automotive battery capital of the world. And since the Department of Energy has over $2 billion in Recovery Act money to spend on the development of these types of batteries, states may be even more willing to woo those battery companies with huge incentives. States have been waging job wars against each other for decades. But Greg LeRoy says this time around it's different because states can spend recovery money to patch up their budgets and free up more state money for incentives. LeRoy is with the watchdog group Good Jobs First.
At the end of the day, what it really means is that there's less money available to improve schools or to maintain roads or to provide college scholarships and create other opportunities for people in the future.
Armin Budish is the Democratic Speaker of the House in the Ohio legislature. He's won some job wars. He's lost some. Either way, he hates it.
What a company will do is play one state against another until they get the best offer. But as long as those are the rules of the game, Ohio's going to compete and compete well.
Ohio just lost a company it's had in town for more than 100 years to Georgia. Georgia offered the company $96 million in incentives to relocate. I'm Jennifer Guerra for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. That's the business news this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.